desire and interest in your prayers today and your attention. I feel need a special need of the Lord's direction for His Word and for the words that I would use today. I wonder how many of us would look around the crowd today and maybe feel like there is someone here that is unconscious. I would guess that all of us feel like that we're conscious today. And I personally feel that I am conscious, but I realize that there are sometimes things that I'm not conscious about. Let's go to Hebrews, maybe the 13th chapter, and notice a couple verses, first two verses in this chapter. It says, "Be not, let brotherly love continue." Well, I want it to continue. I want the love that we have for one another and the appreciation we have for truth to continue, not just through my lifetime, but if the Lord permits time to go on, I want that to continue through my children's and my grandchildren's lifetime. And anytime I come to Myrtle, I have a lot of thoughts of reminiscing. Because I came here as a young child and as a teenager, I remember the first time that I drove my own vehicle here, and I just got my old truck painted. I just painted it like a few days before I drove over here. And I drove over here and realizing that the old enamel that we used back then hadn't fully cured. And when I got here, there was a lot of mosquitoes and bugs that were embedded in the front of the hood. And it was not a very happy thought for me, because I probably drove over here at dusk and at, you know, when the darkness was coming, and so the bugs were really thick. And when I got here, it was my new paint job had bugs in the front. So I have lots of memories. I don't know if I've ever even told my wife that one, but lots of memories of traipsing over these hills and getting lost in the woods and all of those things. I had those memories here. So not just because of a literal place, but I want our young people and our children to have a spiritual place of reflection and consciousness where that they have a real realization of what truth is and what will make their soul free and happy and be able to have real fellowship with God and His people. The second verse here says, "Be not careful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware." In our society, we are pretty removed from just inviting strangers into our house because they need shelter for the night. But that was pretty common during the time of the scripture, and it's even been common in our land today, is in our nation. And many years ago, that if someone was traveling and you needed a place to stay, you might just knock on the nearest door and ask if there was a place you could maybe water your horse and spread out your blanket and spend the night under the tree. And you usually ended up with you being invited to come in the house and sleep in the front room, or maybe someone would give you their bed. And he says here, "Be not careful or forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware." We sometimes have been party of situations where we don't really realize the full scope of what's going on, or not fully conscious of what's really entailed in everything. So I'd like to turn maybe to Proverbs, the sixth chapter, and notice some instruction that the writer here said, trying to get our minds to thinking in a particular manner this morning. Proverbs, the sixth chapter, and beginning in verse 6, he says, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which have no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man." I know that this is a familiar passage, and we've all read this many times probably, and maybe heard it preached on many times, but the challenge this morning here is that we would take instruction and realize that there is something that we need to cultivate in our life. Just as the ant makes preparations for time when there's no food source available, we should be conscious that there needs to be preparation for times that are not as convenient. Brother Marty exhorted us that there are times to be, that it's very easy to be thankful, and there are other times that maybe we find it a real challenge to know how to be thankful in our circumstances, in our environment. So we need to prepare ourselves or cultivate our abilities to be conscious of our current circumstances and where our circumstances and events are going to take us in the future. All right? And he says here that we're learning something from the ant, because they prepare. They don't seem to have a lot of intelligence, do they? I mean, they just follow one another back and forth from the food supply. And sometimes if you notice the ants, it seems like as they pass one another, they kind of communicate. They bump heads, or I don't know what they do. Have you ever noticed that? They'll be going back and forth, and they just kind of bump into one another, and they just keep going. One of them's going to the food source, and the other one's going back with a load. And they can move some pretty large amounts of material with their just little efforts going back and forth. And you think, oh, they're a pest. I don't want them in my cabinets, that's for sure. And my wife doesn't either. She thinks that's a terrible calamity to get ants in the cupboards. So as we're paying attention to this, we need to learn something for them. They're aware of something. Maybe they're not fully conscious of what they're doing, but they are aware of some circumstances that can change. And it goes on and he says, if we don't, I'm saying this paraphrasing it in my own mind, if we don't, our poverty will come as one that traveleth. Have you ever traveled without really knowing where you wanted to go? I've thought about sometimes what it would be like just to get in my vehicle and take off and not really have any plan. I'm going to tell you that if I ever do that, I'm going to get somewheres. I don't know where, but I'll get somewheres. And if you don't have a plan, if you don't cultivate a consciousness of where you want to go spiritually, you're going to end up somewheres. Yes. We heard some of that in the prayer request today. We heard about a person that is younger in life that has a family, and there's an issue of alcohol there. That's what the burden was about. And then we heard another request about someone that has allowed that. He's been traveling down that road, and he's went to a place where his family is not there with him. and he's destitute. He's in trouble.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be that. It could be something else. But if you just are traveling on the road of life and you are not cultivating a consciousness of where you want to go and where you want to be, you're going to end up somewheres. You're going to end up somewheres, and it very likely will be a place that you don't want to be. Even if you don't want to admit it, you'll probably be someplace that you don't really enjoy. And he says, "And thou want as an armed man." Now, I don't know why the scripture would say armed man if he wasn't talking about some kind of threat. I don't feel very threatened with an unarmed person. But we live in an age in our United States where it is it's legal to carry a weapon that's exposed. And it's also legal now in our state to carry a concealed weapon, if y'all didn't know that. You don't have to have a special permit now to carry a concealed weapon. Well, maybe not in our state, but in Kansas, I know it's that way. That's our next door neighbor, especially where I live. So, but if someone comes in, I've had somebody come in our place of business with a weapon strapped on their side. It's very visible. Well, that's more of a threat to me. But I don't think he's just talking about somebody carrying a weapon on display. He's talking about someone that's in the process of using that. You know, if we're not paying attention in life and cultivating the right sense of consciousness, we're going to end up where we didn't really intend to go, and we're also going to be in harm's way because there's an enemy out there that wants to destroy our soul. As most of you know, I have some granddaughters, and I've noticed that the youngest one is becoming conscious that she can get nourishment out of a bottle. And she reaches for that thing. It's a food source that's... she didn't come into this world knowing that that was a food source. But she is... made the connection, she's cultivated an interest in a bottle. And she reaches for that thing and she wants that when she's hungry. And our children will do that. They learn that as they get older, they can come to the table and there'll be food on the table. And one of the hardest things to make our children conscious of is how the food got on the table. Many know that when you come, when mama says that it's lunchtime or it's supper time, they'll come in and sit down at the table and expect some of mama's good cooking, but they don't know what she put into it to make it that way. And they don't know where she bought the stuff at, and they don't know maybe how to prepare the vegetables straight from the garden. Do you know that's a lost art in our world today? Yeah. Of knowing how to take green beans off of the bush and put them on the table. It's fresh sweet corn. And then what about hamburgers? Most of you young people like hamburgers. Well, you know how to take it from the hamburger maker to the table? That's quite a process. And not very many people are conscious of all that goes into that. And if you want to know how to do it, you're going to have to cultivate a consciousness of that. I was one of those that didn't really realize what all it took to keep the household going together. You know, like, well, I thought the light bulbs come out of the closet and the Band-Aids were in the little cabinet in the bathroom or something. I didn't know that you had to go. Well, I did, but I, you know, that wasn't part of my thing. I just knew if I cut my finger, I went in there and found a Band-Aid. But I found out when I moved out from mom and dad's and I was a young bachelor for a few months, I realized that the house didn't come with light bulbs and Band-Aids. I had to cultivate a consciousness and awareness of how to put that stuff in the cabinet so it would be there for me. Clean clothes, fresh new clothes, all of those things, we all appreciate those things. But there has to be a cultivation of knowing how it gets there. I've heard Brother Ed say one time in a message that he had some kind of magic going on in his dresser or whatever. It was always full of clean clothes. I don't do the laundry and it was like I'm sure what he was saying. He didn't do the laundry. He knew there was work going on behind the scenes, but he didn't have to put it in there. And I really appreciate the effort that goes in to clean clothes at my house. But if we don't cultivate a consciousness of how it got there and how the effort, we'll be clueless of how it all comes together. Because I've been in the repair world, and many of you that have been in repair industries, occupations, can probably relate to this. But I've heard this expression, I don't know what happened. I was just driving down the road and it quit. Oh, if I've heard, that's probably the most common explanation of why someone is broke down than I've ever heard. I was just driving down the road and did you see any warning lights? Did you hear any noises? Did you feel any vibrations? Did you smell anything? No. I just driving down the road and all of a sudden I found myself pulling over to the side. I just couldn't go anymore. It just unconscious except looking at the yellow line and the white line, you see. But there was no cultivation of that. You know, some people, if they see a white car, well, that's Brother and Sister so-and-so. Well, no, that's a Ford, and they drive a Chevy. Well, it's a white car, that's all I know. Well, it's because you didn't cultivate a consciousness. You see what I'm saying? So there's something that all of us are not conscious about. You may be alert today. I hope no one is drowsy this morning, but you feel like that you are pretty conscious, but as you go on through life, you'll realize there's things I'm not conscious of. I'm not very conscious of spelling, right? I mean, it's never been a real strong point, and I felt like I wrote, I don't know which letters I had wrong, but I thought I did it right. But I'm not real conscious of that. And you know why I'm not real conscious of that? It's because I haven't worked real hard at cultivating that. I may not be the sharpest knife in the drawer, but I believe I could learn to spell better if I really wanted to. But I'm going to have to cultivate that. Do you understand what I'm trying to say this morning? We live in an age where people as a whole feel that they're entitled to something because of who they are. And to be conscious that it takes effort and there's something that I have to contribute to be able to be a recipient is lost. They're unconscious of that. And it takes, we have to teach the next generation, ourselves many times, to be conscious of our surroundings. It's not something that we all just come naturally with. Now, some of you here may feel like you just come naturally with certain attributes. And I think there's tendencies that we have. There may be so. But I want to tell you, we have a lot of interest that we cultivate. my occupation has been something that I've enjoyed. I might have kind of an inclination, but you know, my parents helped me cultivate that. They bought me toys that I could take the wheels off of and put back on. They bought me all of those. I had those Lego blocks by the bucket full when I was small. I had Tinker toys and rubber bands for belts. And I remember one of the most discouraging things I ever had in my life. And Dennis is here, so I'm going to drag him in on this story. But my grandmother married Harlan and Dennis's grandfather when I was almost three, I think. And I don't know how much longer it was, but my uncle that moved to Myrtle when I don't know what he was, 12 years old, something like that, he had one of these metal erector sets and a metal box. Y'all ever seen one of those? Not the plastic box, but the metal box. And it had all the little nuts and bolts and all the little pieces and the pulleys and the shafts and all of that kind of stuff. And I don't know when, but he decided he didn't want it any longer. And, I wanted that so bad. And I'll tell you how small I was when I wanted it. My parents thought I might put them in my mouth and swallow some of them. A true story. So I didn't get it. And I thought they give it to Dennis. Is that right? Do you remember that? Anyway, he's older than me. So they thought he was big enough he could handle it. Oh, my feelings was hurt at my parents. But you see, ultimately I got one, but it was in a plastic box. And they helped me cultivate some of the attributes that helped me be who I am in my life's work. All right? So I would like for us to turn now to Luke, the 12th chapter. And I would like to talk, we could talk a long time about how people are unaware of their calamities in life and how they don't realize how they get where they are financially or something like that. But I think we're all in agreement that we're here to try to understand how to get to heaven. I'm interested in that. I can talk to you about my occupation. I can talk to you about my other interests and my grandchildren and all of those kind of things. But I'm here today primarily for us to know how can we be successful in ensuring that we have eternal security. I want to make it to heaven, and I don't want anything to be a threat to me in getting there. So I'd like to turn in Luke, the 12th chapter, in the 36th verse beginning. He says, Jesus speaking here, "And ye yourselves liken to men that wait for their Lord when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may be open, that they may open unto him immediately." Now, I'm kind of picking up in the middle of this discourse, but I've done it on purpose because I want us to recognize that Jesus instructing his disciples, I believe, maybe there were some others there, that they needed to be prepared. You don't know when he's going to knock, but when he does come and knock, that you're able to open the door. Be conscious that there's something coming and there's something developing. He says, "Blessed are these servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily, I say unto you, that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And he will come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so. Blessed or happy are those servants. And this know, if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and have not suffered his house to be broken through." Have you ever been broken into? Oh, I have. It wasn't very nice. And it was something that I think could have been avoidable. You know, when you have an outswing door and you don't have a deadbolt on it, It doesn't take a very big pry bar to just kind of spring that jam a little bit and pop the door open. And somebody can go in and they can do whatever they take a notion to. And I've had that happen. And I come in the next morning to our place of business and it looked like a wild animal had been in there, just tearing things all up. And oh, it was distressful. You know, right after that, we got some security cameras and we put some deadbolts on the door. But it'd been a lot better if I'd done that before. It'd been a lot better. It might have not even happened. The guy might have come up and kind of pried the door a little bit and said, I'll go someplace else. You know, that's what we want the devil to do when he comes around to us. We don't want him to come up and be an easy target for him. When he comes up and puts his little pry bar in the entrance of our life and he's able to just put a little pressure on it and boop, the door pops open and in he walks, and you know what he's going to do when he gets in your life? He's going to tear it up. He's going to make a mess out of it. But if we'll cultivate an awareness that the enemy is out there. And he's an armed man. He's coming in to wreak havoc in your life, in whether it's your personal life, whether it's your life with the Lord, it's in your occupation, in your family, whatever. He wants to cause destruction. And our burglar that came to our place didn't really take a lot of... He could have cleaned me out. But he didn't. But he caused me a lot of distress. But if I would have just cultivated this consciousness, you know, there's probably a burglar lurking around out there somewheres, and he might think we're an easy target. If I'd have just cultivated that and worked on it a little bit, but I thought, no, surely, we're not in the metro area. We're had farmers all around. Surely everybody will respect my, you know, the devil don't respect you. He don't respect your background. He doesn't respect who your parents were. He don't respect that I've came to camp meeting all of my life, even back before I knew whether I wanted to or not. He doesn't respect that. He'll force the door. He'll come in. He'll wreak havoc in my life and yours just as quickly as he possibly can. But if I will be cultivating a consciousness that he's out there and he wants to get me. He says here that if the good man of the house had known the hour the thief would come, he would have watched and have not suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh in an hour when you think not. And Peter said, my Bible has a change of thought here, but I really think Peter just interrupted, and he said, Peter said unto him, Lord, speakest thou this parable to us or even to all? And Peter's like, Lord, are you talking to us? Are you meaning that we need to be more conscious and aware of what's going on, that you're coming back someday? You're not even left yet. No, I'm not dead yet. And you boys are going to have to start being more conscious of what the future holds. My parents are gone. And I can look back and say, you know, I wished I'd have been more conscious of some things before they were gone. I don't have a lot of regrets, but I have some. And the Lord said to Peter, who then is that faithful and wise steward? You know, every one of us here today are a steward of what the Lord has entrusted with us. He said, who then is that faithful and wise steward, who his Lord shall make ruler over his household and give them their portion of meat in season? Blessed or happy is the servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. You know, the most happy thing you're ever going to find in life, or the most happy experience, is being conscious of what is developing and being conscious of your surroundings and asking the Lord to help you be prepared. That's going to bring you more happiness than any other kind of achievement that you'll ever find in life. He goes on to say, of a truth I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. And if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and the maid servants and eat and drink and be drunken. You know that the world around us would like for us to be unconscious? There's a lot of things we could engage in and be distracted and become frustrated and begin to act out on that. And we can be gluttonous. We can eat and drink and be drunken and be involved in things that causes us to be numb and not conscious. You know, sometimes in my line of work, this don't happen a lot, okay? But there are some people that hear things that I can't hear. And I know my hearing is deteriorating, but they'll come in and, oh, I hear this little noise. Okay. We'll go for a ride and I can't hear it. And some of them that I know real well, I tell them, you know, that's what you got a radio for. Turn that up just a little bit. And maybe you won't hear that little squeak or that whatever it is that's troubling you. I don't say that to very many people. But, you know, there are things out there that people hear sometimes that are a little overcharged and overconscious. But the message today is about us cultivating a consciousness of what's going on and not allowing ourselves to just turn the radio up and drown it out. You know, you can have a real problem, and if you got the windows rolled down and the radio loud enough you can hear it and you're driving 70 down the highway, there's a lot of bad noises that'll cover up. You have to get where you can feel it. And if you can feel it, it's real bad. Because the next thing is you're going to smell it, and then it's going to break off. And that's how people get spiritually. We can get in a place where we got so much racket going on that we're unconscious of what's developing just around the corner and just over the horizon. And if we don't feel it and we're not smelling it, I mean, if it's not in the black and white, I don't know what you're worried about. There's so many other things that we need to be worried about. You see? See what I'm thinking about? It says, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, at an hour when he's not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with the what? Unbelievers. But I thought we were Christians. I thought we knew the truth. I thought we were the saints. Let's be careful. Because you can start out thinking that, oh, this is not something we need to work. You know, the devil wants to get us one way or the other. Oh, just turn the radio up. That's not really important. Just roll the windows down. I believe it'll drown it out. And the next thing you know, there's some kind of vibration going on, spiritually speaking. How do we get here? Well, it's because we weren't conscious. It's because we weren't cultivating an awareness and a perception. Well, I didn't want my children to do that. No, I know you didn't. I don't. But have I become or allowed myself to become unconscious? I don't want to be appointed a portion with the unbelievers. Verse 47 says, and that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. That don't even seem right, does it? This was a servant that knew his Lord's will. Have you known what's right? Did your parents know what's right? There's a lot of us here today that your parents knew what was right. Maybe your parents tried to teach you what was right. Maybe your grandparents tried to teach you what was right. But because there's been so much appetite that's been cultivated for other things, for the drink and the eating out there, right on the fence. Have you ever noticed a pastor barbed wire fences, got cattle in it. They could be grass knee-deep out in the middle. What do? They're over there at the fence, either sticking their head under the bottom wire or worming their head through the barbed wire and grazing on the road ditch. You know, if a cow will do it, you will too. If you don't cultivate an attitude, an appetite for consciousness of the things out in the middle of the pasture of God's field, you'll be over at the fence eating on the outside. And the more you eat on the outside, the more deteriorated the fence gets. You ever notice that? And the more you push on the fence, the more the wires get stretched. I was over at Brother Ivan's one time years ago. We were trying to catch a cow because she needed to be caught. And the fence wasn't in the best of shape. And we were chasing the cow, which probably wasn't a wise idea. But anyway, we chased this cow, and it hit that fence and went through it just lickety-split. The fence just kind of went boop like that and come back together, and the cow was on the other side. And you know, that's what that'll happen to us spiritually. We'll push on the fences, stretch the wire, break the clips off the post, push the staples out, whatever you want to talk about. And we'll get it all sagging and droopy, and then we'll get excited because of maybe somebody hurt your feelings. And the next thing we'll know, we'll be one of those that knew the Lord's will. And we'll find ourselves on the other side of the fence. And then the consequences of that will be beaten with many stripes. He says, but he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever it is given of him shall be much required, and unto whom men have committed much of him they will ask the more. There are some out there, maybe among us, that we might use the expression can get away with something. Well, you know the Lord is wanting them to be conscious too. But we have to cultivate a consciousness. You can't throw... I did something that maybe I shouldn't have done. Coming down here, hooked up to my travel trailer and was getting ready to go and realized I had a low tire. So I aired it up. And rolled it around. I got my plugs with me, but I rolled it around. I couldn't find the nail, and I took off. I made it here, but I'm fairly confident that I'm going to have a flat that I'm going to have to deal with before I go home. I really know better. You know, you don't have a low tire if you don't have a nail in it or something. Well, there's maybe some that don't know, but that doesn't mean I can be ignorant. All right? I'd like to go to James. You ever thought what it'd be like to be James? This book of James, some feel like, was written by James, the brother of Jesus. Ever thought what it'd be like to be raised in the same house as Jesus was? He knew all the right answers to any scriptural question that his parents might ask at family worship, didn't he? How could you feel like you was even in the same ballpark with someone that was there when the earth was formed? But you know, growing up, James wasn't aware of that really. He knew that when Jesus stayed at the temple, I don't know, I have to believe James was in the family by then and probably aware that Jesus was got left behind. You remember that story? Well, here he goes again. Jesus is back there. I don't know. How would you like to have a big brother like that? You know, it was hard for James to believe that his brother was the Christ. Let's turn to John, and we're going to read in James, but let's turn to John, the 7th chapter, and notice a few verses here. John 7, we'll begin in verse 1. He says, "After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry, because the Jews sought to kill him. Now the Jews' feast of the tabernacles was at hand. His brothers therefore said unto him, Depart hence, and go to Judea, and that thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, shew thyself to the world." Neither did his brethren believe in him. Jesus was an adult by now. James most likely was very close to adulthood if he wasn't. And he didn't really believe Jesus is who everybody else was saying he was. You know, he had to come to the place he was willing to cultivate a consciousness that this older brother of mine is actually the Messiah. He had to make a conscious effort of cultivating that. Did you know that weeds don't stay out of the flower beds in the garden? They really don't. And you can make a raised bed and bring your potted plants in the house and all of that and put some kind of sterile, weed-free potting soil in those and, you know, give it just a little bit of time and there'll be something growing in there that you didn't plant. You know, it takes cultivation. Yes. To keep a life free from weeds. It takes cultivation, conscious cultivation of consciousness to keep our souls and our spirits free from ungodliness. And James had to come to the place that he recognized there was a real serious need of me cultivating something here that didn't just happen because I was enamored with the thought of Jesus being the Messiah. So if we turn to Acts, the first chapter, we find in the 14th verse, he's talking about the ones that were all in one accord. He says, "These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brother." I believe James was there. There's something that had happened between what John wrote and between what Luke wrote in the book of Acts about James' experience and what he was cultivating. He was cultivating a consciousness of Jesus being the Christ, the Messiah. Now I'd like to go back to James, the first chapter, and notice beginning in the first verse that he is writing, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. James is writing to the Hebrew nation. I believe this morning that I'm preaching to the church. Not just the current, but the future church. There are young people, children here today that are not conscious of the body of Christ, of the spiritual kingdom. They're here because mom and dad said, come on, let's go. They're doing the things that they're doing because the parents are saying, this is what you're going to do. This is how you're going to act. This is what makes mama happy, and this is what's going to make you unhappy. That's what they're doing. But we must teach them how to cultivate a consciousness, because one day there's going to be needing somebody to take the place of those of us with the gray hair. There's going to need to be a cultivating of a consciousness. So James is writing to the church? He wasn't writing to the church. He was writing to the Hebrew people. But today we're speaking to the church. And he talks about the experience of living for God and all of that. So I want to skip down maybe to the 22nd verse. We'll pick up there. He's challenging the people. The people he's writing to are those that were, can I say it like this, biologically related to Jesus. They had a background. There was a common denominator. We have, in this group of people today, there's a real common denominator. We have some history of knowing right and wrong, of having instruction, of seeing faithful ones live and pass off the scene. We've got that common denominator. And he's writing to them. I believe he's trying to stir up a desire in them to cultivate a consciousness. I say that because that's the topic I'm trying to talk to you about. He says in the 22nd verse, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he's likened to a man beholding his face, his natural face in a glass." So he's talking to him about spiritual things, right? He says, "For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was." It's pretty easy to go away and forget what you look like. You know, two of my best friends in my job is an impact and penetrating oil. But when you put those together, if you spray something down with penetrating oil and you get yourself in a position where when you spin that nut off or that bolt out with that impact, it'll sling that penetrating oil right in your face. And if it's the right temperature, you don't even hardly feel it because it's just a fine little mist. And you do that for several hours, and then you go look at yourself in the mirror. Maybe you're going to clean up for lunch, and it's like, "Ooh, I didn't know I looked like that." It's because I wasn't conscious. I don't have a mirror walking around looking at myself all the time. We can look. We can come to the camp meeting. We can go to Sunday morning service. We can hear the message that the pastor has or the evangelist has. And, "Lord, I see myself." But it's easy for us to go away and forget. Lord, help us to cultivate a consciousness. I want, Lord, you to search me and know me. Try my thoughts. See if there's any wicked way in me. I want to have that cultivating, that close experience with the Lord. He says, "But whoso looketh on the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer." How do you forget? By not cultivating. That's how weeds grow. I got a weedy garden right now because I haven't cultivated it. You cultivate things and it prospers. Cultivate a consciousness of, like we heard last night, submitting our will to the Lord. That's something we're going to have to cultivate. You're not just going to fall off the log, so to speak, and be submitting to the Lord. It's something you're going to have to cultivate. You're going to have to work on that. Your will, surrendering it to the Lord, you're going to have to cultivate that, work on that. He says here, "Don't be a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain." You know, we can say something, but unless we really begin to cultivate it and put it into practice, it's not going to be beneficial in the long term. He says, "Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this." Now stop and think about what he just said. Pure religion and undefiled before God. How are you going to get in heaven if you're not there? Really? Are you going to get in if you don't have a heart that's undefiled before the Lord? What have you been taught? We're not going to make it. We have to have a clear testimony with the Lord. So how are we going to get there? I'm going to tell you, it's going to take cultivation. You're going to have to cultivate your consciousness, your awareness of what's going on around us. He says, "Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world." There's work to do. There's people to reach out to. There's people to share the truth with. And we have to cultivate that. I don't feel like I'm naturally a people person. I kind of, you know, I like people to talk to me, but especially people I haven't met before. But for me to just go and introduce myself, it's just a little bit outside of my comfort zone. That's my personality. But I realize if I don't cultivate that, then I'm not really living up to what the Lord wants me to do and live up to. And he goes on to say here, to keep himself unspotted from the world. Did you know that the world can spot us? Just like my impact wrench and my penetrating oil, WD-40 or whatever you like to use, it'll get you really speckled looking. And it can happen and you not really realize how spotted you are. Because sometimes it's about the same temperature you are. And it's on such small, fine particles or droplets that you don't realize it's happening until it's too late, until you have to go clean up, until your clothes are soiled. The world's like that too. Lots of things to graze on. Don't see it right there across that fence, but there's a lot of, maybe if you was a billy goat. But you know, the grass seems to always look better on the other side of the fence. It always seems to be more tasty when you have to kind of poke through a barbed wire to get it, so to speak. You know, the enemy wants us to cultivate an appetite for the eating and the drinking that's out there in this world. But we're going to have to be very conscious. We're going to have to cultivate a consciousness of the world's impact. We're going to have to cultivate a consciousness of what it means to be pure and undefiled before the Lord. Lord, help us to be conscious of the things that we do, the clothes that we wear, the activities we engage in, the things that we look at with our eyes. You know, there's a lot of things that I have used with a lot of, feel like it takes a lot of consciousness to use a lot of things. There's a lot of powerful tools and equipment in this world that you don't want to turn a novice loose with. There are things, there's machinery out there that you don't want to take them out of park on a hill like this without the engine running. Because if you do, the brakes don't work. And you're liable to have a wreck. You know, I wouldn't even think about letting my little 5-year-old granddaughter use my chainsaw. But I might make one of my sons use a chainsaw. Because there's a consciousness of knowing how to operate that. You know, I've watched some YouTube videos, and it's pretty handy when you can't figure out how to take something apart, and somebody has invested the time to post a video on how to get something off. It's pretty handy to be able to scroll through that and find that, and, well, okay, that's pretty easy. I think I can do that. That's pretty easy. But you know, there's so much out there on that thing called YouTube that'll damn your soul. And if you don't cultivate a consciousness of it, you're going to find yourself busting through the fence and over there on the outside. And God having to beat someone that knew the truth with many stripes.
Be careful.
It's not the mechanism that's sinful. It's not just the box called the television. It's not just the computer screen or the platform of YouTube. It's what you see. It's what you cultivate, or what you allow to have an appetite for. I'm thankful that you have the resources that you do. But I'm going to tell you, if you don't cultivate a consciousness that you stand before God, not just before mom and dad, but if you don't cultivate a consciousness that you stand before God, you can type in a word to figure out how to spell it and end up in a state that you wished you'd have never got there. The Google is a powerful tool in our society today. But you can use it to destroy your soul. I want us to all look presentable, but I'm going to tell you, if you don't cultivate a consciousness of what's pure and what's holy before the Lord, you're going to start taking on the world's appearance in your dress. But you've got to cultivate a consciousness. Where is this taking me? What's driving this? Why is it popular? Why is it something, whatever it is, a style? You know, my parents had their own struggles, maybe with things like cufflinks or something like that, and we look on like, who would ever wear something like that? But it was real for them, just like you have real things to deal with today. And if you don't cultivate a consciousness, I'm standing before God. It says pure religion and undefiled. We've got to be careful with what we do with our hair. If we don't cultivate a consciousness there, we're going to make mistakes. Men and women of both. Let's be careful. A consciousness that has to be cultivated. Did you know that if you don't really cultivate it, you'll be impressed and you'll be swayed by everything that's around you? It'll lead you astray. It'll lead you into a place to where, oh, you see something, you've been eating on the other side of the fence, and all of a sudden it looks like it's over there just about. Well, I got to get my back legs through to get it. But I'm just going a body length over there. And the next thing you know, you'll find yourself grazing in the enemy's pasture. Now, I'm not a cow. But if I had the choice of grazing over there and over here, if Brother Harlan let the grass grow a little bit, I'm pretty sure I'd rather graze over here. Because there's some stuff over there that looks like it would taste bad if I was a cow. And you know, the enemy sugarcoats so many things. He sugarcoats entertainment. It's just for fun. You need to get a little steam off. You need to have a little exercise. He sugarcoats all of that. He sugarcoats beauty. You know, I'll tell you what my mama told me when I got to the age I was thought I was old enough to think about a companion. She told me, she said, beauty's only skin deep, but ugly goes clear to the bone. You know, be careful what you're cultivating. Be careful what you're looking after. You're going to have to cultivate a pure heart. A pure life, being undefiled before the Lord. You know, it'll bring peace and happiness. You know, there's some things in my life that if I could have pushed a button or turned a switch and made it different, I would have. But I'm real glad that I chose to live for God as a young man. I'm real glad that I chose to choose my companion from among God's people. Amen. I'm real thankful that I have endeavored to cultivate a consciousness of what it's like to be accountable before God. Amen. And I want to challenge you young people that are here today. I want to encourage you that this is the right way to go. Cultivate a consciousness. Lord, why am I doing what I'm doing? Why am I thinking what I'm thinking? Why am I utilizing the things that I'm... Why am I doing this? Examine yourself regularly, daily. Go talk to some of us older folks. What do you think about this? Just ask them. You know, there's enough gray heads around here to give you some pretty sound... The Bible tells us in the multitude of counselors are safety. There's a number of people here, even older than me, that has chose to live for God all of their life. And there's blessings there, dear ones. Right. So my challenge to you is, don't be looking over there. I'm glad that field is over there today. It's a pretty scruffy looking place. And I can't imagine it being appetizing to anything but a goat. You know what goats represent in the scripture? The people that don't make it to heaven. And I don't want to eat goat food. I've heard they'll eat a tin can. I know they'll eat garbage. Lord, help us to cultivate a consciousness of being pleasing to the Lord. You pray for me.